and welcome to Books Unbound, the podcast where we unbind books to get to their hearts with your hosts, us. It's Ariel and
Raylene.
Hello. Hello, everyone. We have a very adorable episode today.
Yes, we
because
do.
Because some adorable things happened. whoop.
That's a good way to put it.
I guess I was about to say, I've been scheming before the episode started. I was like, how do I want to package this information? Mm-hmm. Should I bury the lead? I actually thought, like, maybe I won't mention it in this episode because I don't even know why. And I was like, you know what? Let's just say
tell the people, put it out there. It's going to be the title of the episode.
I got engaged.
Yahoo! Yes, I already knew, which is why I'm not freaking out. But I did scream when she told me.
You did scream.
Yeah.
You were making a tuna melt.
I know, I was like, this is the highlight of my evening. Nothing interesting is happening over here at all.
It was really, really cute. Yeah, I called Raylene. It was the whole situation was perfect and really adorable and like exactly what I don't think I ever really dreamed of an engagement, but if I did, like, it was my ideal situation.
Yeah.
But the afterwards was also really fun where we were calling everyone, right? And then I was like, wait, I can't call any of my friends because it was 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock. So it was 2 or 3 for you.
Yeah.
You were at work.
Middle of the day.
I couldn't call you. And I texted you like it later. I was like, when do you get home again?
And I just so happened to not be heading straight home that day. So I was like, oh, in like an hour and a half.
You're like, in like an hour and a half, if you need to call, and you thought it was a Books Unbound thing.
Yeah, I thought I messed something up and you just needed to like ream me out or something and be like, you forgot to do this.
I've never done that before. I literally haven't.
No, that doesn't happen. But I thought, for some reason, I was like, what? Why does she want me? Like, what could this be? And so I was just really suspicious and scared. But I'm glad that it ended up
also,
being something nice.
We had some serious technical difficulties for the last episode. Raylene's audio file had no sound.
It was not good.
And so it was like a crisis. And obviously we're not near each other and we're in completely different time zones. And so when something like that happens, usually Raylene's at work. CJ realizes it because he's gone to start editing the episode. And then Raylene has to try and get her husband to try and like figure out the file on her computer. Like it's always a mess.
Yeah, it's a nightmare every time. So I was scared it was something like that. I was just like, what did I do now?
I know. But also, so I couldn't call you because you were at work. And I couldn't call my other best friends who are all British because they were all asleep. It was the worst. It was the worst timing.
You should have told Connor to propose a little earlier in the the morning or...
yeah. The morning would have been a perfect time zone compromise.
Exactly.
So I called Raylene and you're like, I was like, I don't think I texted you beforehand. I just called you.
You just
called. And you were like,
I was in the middle of
making everything good? I'm in the middle of making a tuna melt. And I was like, I got engaged. And you screamed.
Yes, I did.
And it was great because Kyle was there. So he obviously heard it as well. And so he was excited. And you were like, tell me everything. And I told you everything. And then it was such a Raylene end to the call. I swear to God. I was like, God, Raylene is so Raylene. At the end of the call, you were like, God, this is awesome. But I have to go eat my tuna melt. And I'm like, no problem. And you just left. I was like, that's awesome.
Yeah. Well, my thought process was, okay, we've got a few minutes. This is just the initial call. I am going to talk to you for hours about this later.
This is true.
That
this
was my plan.
No, you're totally right.
Yeah, it wasn't,
that was just
I wasn't
the, like,
done with
in the
it.
Moment.
In the moment, I was
it was
done
the,
with
in
it.
In the
yeah.
moment
I was like, this tuna melt 100%. Is perfectly hot and crisp and melty. You got to go. I had also just gone to the gym, to be fair, so I was tired. I was hungry.
Yeah, you mentioned, you were like, I just went to the gym. I feel sweaty and I've got my tuna melt. I was like, you've got a whole thing going on. You know the
news. I didn't
know
it was
gonna, happy.
Because the other thing was, I knew that you were possibly going to get engaged during the weekend.
Yes.
But it was Wednesday.
Yes.
It was Wednesday or Thursday when this happened,
It was
right?
Wednesday.
And
I called
like,
you on Thursday, but yeah.
Yeah,
it was
just like, I was not ready for it at all.
No, exactly. Who would have been? Who would have been?
Yeah.
But it was so cute. The whole thing was really happy. So as I mentioned, I don't remember. I think it was on the last episode. Connor and I's anniversary was coming up. And it was our fifth anniversary, which I don't even understand how that much time has passed.
I feel that way a lot, Ariel. Really, I feel that way a lot when I think about time.
You and Kyle have been together over a decade.
Yeah.
Right?
It'll be 11 years this year, which is also, it also is the anniversary of when you and I met in person for the first time, because I met Kyle a week after we met at VidCon.
First.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But
those two things
go together for me, because like they happened so close together that they are like intertwined. Like they are a very it was such an important summer for me that year.
That was such a huge summer. No,
but yeah, 5 years is big too. Like that's huge.
Yeah, it is a long time when you think about it. I also like before this had a really long and significant relationship as well that was like 4 years long. So I'm like, how am I old enough that I've had two long relationships? I'm like, that's so crazy. But yeah, so we went to Lunenburg for our anniversary, and it's like going all the way out to Lunenburg and you're like, why are we going there time after time? It's just my favorite town.
It's so pretty.
Yeah. I wish I could afford to live there. It's too expensive. But also, I like love my life here in this house. Mm-hmm. Like, I wouldn't give up this house for the world. And I can just go. And my mom is so good at this, like, this specific philosophy about how certain things that you love, you want more of them, but actually you shouldn't have too much of them because it will distill it. She's like, when you live in the place, you stop seeing it for what it is. And like another example of this was that she was like, I don't think you should work in a bookshop when I was younger, because she was like, I think it will like really diminish, you'll be a little too much. And I know it goes some ways for other people, like some people love it, but you similarly were like, this is not good for my love of books, actually. So anyways, it's just interesting, and I think I agree with her where I'm like, every time I go to Lunenburg, it's the best, it's so fun, and I'm just seeing the beautifulness of it, whereas I have friends that live there and they're like, but the tourist season, and it's dead in winter, and like all these things. So anyways, I love that town. And we've now gone there 3 years in a row for our anniversary.
Wow. So I can't believe you've lived in Nova Scotia for that long. That's the thing that gets me. I'm like, how is that?
We're moving into our fourth year here.
That's crazy.
It's wild. It's everything's wild. But yeah, so we went and we were staying there for the weekend. And a lot of people obviously ask, like, did you know it was going to happen? Did you... Like what degree of involvement was I? I would say I was completely... I orchestrated the entire thing.
Yes, like, I would definitely say so. There was a whole nail fiasco that was like leading up to it. Like, we knew it was happening.
Basically, Connor has wanted to get married for like years, and he's just feels very certain and sure. And I love that. I didn't feel the exact same. I was just like, I was clearly on a slower pace. And so, when I finally did feel ready, I was like, okay, I will send him a ring like that I would like, because this is the other thing. You guys know, if you have been following me online for any amount of time, that I wear rings. And I say you guys know because if you follow us on Instagram, all of my photos of me holding up books are just me wearing a lot of rings in all the photos, because I love rings. And like, I have a ring I've been wearing for over a decade that was my granddad's ring. Like, I love, and I feel like really, they're really important to me. So I really wanted one that I would love. And I didn't want to leave it up to chance. And it's not that I distrust Connor's taste, but like, it's such a personal thing, the jewelry that you wear every day, that I was like, no, I really want to pick my ring. And Connor knew that. And so like over a year ago, he was like, you should tell me what kind of ring you'd like. And I'm like, no,
I'm
not until
it,
I feel super, super ready.
Yeah.
And so a couple months ago, it was so interesting. I suddenly one day just felt ready. Like, I don't even know what happened. Nothing like emotional happened. Nothing like, there wasn't a moment where I was like, and in that moment I knew. No, I just woke up. I was like, I should look at rings today. It feels cozy. It doesn't feel stressful or pressureful or anything. So I started looking at rings, and because I was like, I don't even know what kind of ring I want. It turns out I did. Instantly I was like, well, I do want like a quirky antique ring, obviously.
Duh.
And then that just like super zoomed in on stuff. And I found this ring that I really loved. It's an antique ring from the 1920s.
So cool.
It has flowers on the side and leaves coming up. So it's like carved. Oh my God, it's so beautiful. And it's gold, which matches my other ring. Yeah. So I had chosen the ring, and then I was like, wow, I guess I've just got to link it to Connor. Here you go. And then I was like, whoa, that's kind of huge. Like, that was basically me linking it to Connor was like me proposing to Connor.
Yeah, let's get married.
Because that's what I'm saying, right? Yeah. I'm like, I guess I'm ready. And so I was like, well, this is huge. So I called my brother. I was like, I've got to consult. I've got to think. I started writing a manifesto. A lot of things happened. And then I was like, no, you know what? I'm ready. And so I needed Connor's help moving a mattress. And I was like, Connor, can you help me move this mattress? He's like, yeah. And so we were moving the mattress. And just partway through, I just like was like, I'm just bursting. I was like, I found the ring. And we were like, oh. And then we hugged and we were so happy. So that was kind of like my moment of being like, I'm really ready and I will marry you if and when you want to ask.
Yeah.
So I linked it to him. So I knew he was buying it. And then like a month ago, he was like, we need to stop at this jeweler on the way to Halifax so that you can get your ring. Like, we need to measure your ring size and everything. And okay, the ring size is almost perfect. Did you have to get yours resized?
Yeah, mine was a little bit too big. And so I got it resized. And even when I first started wearing it, it was like winter. So I was cold all the time. And so I thought the ring was too big. And I was still like, uh-oh, I got it resized, but it doesn't, or like Kyle got it resized, but I was like, it still doesn't really fit, but it does fit. You just have to stick out the cold fingers.
This is exactly what I was thinking is happening, because I'm like, it's winter. It's literally blanketed with snow as I'm looking outside. Like, it's cold. So all my rings are a little loose, but I don't know if it's like loose enough that we should get it resized again. We might just go into the shop and get their professional opinion.
Yeah, you can also get really things to put in rings that like make them slightly smaller that like you can remove. I never ended up getting those, but I considered it. But in the summertime, my ring is tight. So just be careful. don't get it resized if you don't need to. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, that really makes a lot of sense. So I'm thinking about that. Also, like, this is kind of cringe to talk about, but like, the diamond is heavier than any other ring I've ever had.
I have the
same
problem.
Kind of wants to swing down.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I've noticed that with my other friends who have engagement rings now. Like, I'm looking at everyone, like, what's your ring's behavior? And they're all doing that. Like, it wants to twist
to
the side
because
it's a little heavier. Yeah. So I don't know if it just kind of with the territory of the whole thing.
Yeah, I feel like you'll get used to having it on and you kind of just naturally like put it back where it's supposed to go. And I also find that having the wedding band makes it stay on better. It doesn't swing as much.
That makes a
now
lot
that
of
I'm married.
Sense to kind of push it down.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've taken, you are a giant step ahead of me there. but yeah, so I picked the ring and then I was there. I didn't see it until, like I'd only seen it online.
I forgot what it looked like.
Yeah, I'd only seen it online, and I did link it to Raylene when I was like,
I
found it.
I was like, it's perfect. It's perfect.
Everyone that I showed it to said, that is the most aerial ring I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yes, yes. So anyways, I didn't see it until the moment then we got engaged. So that
was
cool. Because I was like, I had a lot of anticipation. I'm like, is it as pretty as I think it is?
Yeah, can you
it's
imagine?
It's actually prettier than I think that I thought it was.
Yeah.
It's so beautiful. But yeah, I also was the one to suggest that we get engaged during our anniversary because like 2 months beforehand when the ring resizing was happening, I just had a conversation with Connor where I was like, I've been thinking that maybe it would be really nice if the engagement happened during our anniversary because we'll be in our favorite town and we'll have this whole weekend away and then
perfect.
We can just like revel in it and have fun and like make it the whole. I also just love it feels so clean to get proposed or engaged on your anniversary.
Yeah.
Like, that's just
that's really
nice.
Cool. Honestly, I don't even remember what day I got engaged. I don't know the day.
Right. I don't think I would either in the future.
It. Yeah.
I just know that you were on a hike with a salamander.
Yeah, and it was November. I know it was November because it was cold. That's the only reason.
Yeah. I love that.
Salamander.
But yeah, so basically, I don't really want to go into the whole story because it's a little
you don't need
personal,
to.
I suppose. But we got, it was really private, which is exactly what I wanted. And we had like a nice evening where we went to a bookshop and then we went to dinner. And dinner was so good. It was mac and cheese with pulled pork on top, which is not a very romantic meal, but like it was so delicious. It was so delicious. I will say I didn't know it was happening that night. I thought it was gonna happen the next night.
Oh.
And so would I have ordered mac and cheese and pulled pork? Maybe, probably. It was delicious.
You gotta do you.
My friend was like, what is an engagement meal? And I was like, no, you're right.
Yeah.
What it's just good food.
Exactly.
But then after the restaurant, Connor was like, let's go for a little walk. And I was like, oh my God, it's happening. And I was a little, I really wasn't worried about my outfit or anything, but I was just a little confused because when we were packing, I said to Connor, I was like, is there something I need to bring? And he said, yeah, just bring like a nice outfit.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, cool. So I packed like a dress that I like and blah, blah, blah. And I was not wearing the nice outfit. I said to him, this is going to like, this is burning into my brain forever. I was like, I don't have the nice outfit on. And he said, none of that matters now. I was like, okay. Alrighty. And then we walked onto the docks and he proposed on the docks, which was a little horrifying because we were like, what if the ring falls between the docks into the sea?
Into the sea. Oh God. Have a Titanic situation.
But it did not. Also, directly after the engagement, like everything was beautiful. He had a little speech prepared. It was perfect. He didn't like uber memorize it. He just had like points he wanted to remember to make. It was so beautiful. And he got down on one knee and he proposed and I cried. At, like the moment, it was perfect. And then the moment came to a close. It was nighttime also, by the way. It was like dark and there was just glimmering lights on the harbor and everything. It was so pretty and no one was there. We get right to the end of it. We're hugging. And then a giant boat in the distance goes, bah!
I was hoping you were going to say that. I was imagining a boat, like just a horn.
It was a giant horn. That's beautiful. I realized like we had been so close to that happening while he was proposing. And it would have been so awkward.
Yeah, that was pretty peak timing, gotta say.
Yeah. So right afterwards, we went to the grocery store because we wanted to buy tea and oat milk so that we could have tea back at home. And when we were at the grocery store, I collect like points at the grocery store. And I was like checking out and the woman was like, oh, do you want to use your points? You just crossed the threshold for $20 off. Yeah. I was like, hell yeah. So I got all my groceries for $3. I was so excited. God, we were like, happens. This is the best night of our freaking lives. So then we go home and or like back to the Airbnb and we like called everyone. We called our parents and our siblings and I tried to call you, whatever. I called everyone. We called everyone we could. And then that took a while. And then after that, we were like, okay, now what? And so I was like, well, either we like get into comfy clothes and we like go watch a movie or read or like some cozy activity, or our friend did invite us to trivia and we could go get a drink and do some trivia. And Connor was like, do you want to go to trivia? I was like, I really want to go to trivia. And so we went to trivia at the pub and we won trivia. Like, it was a freaking winner night. Okay. Like, we couldn't be beat. Yeah. So it was just really, really lovely and wonderful. And yay. I am very happy to be engaged to old Connor.
Yahoo. Well, congratulations on behalf of everyone listening. I'm sure everyone is screaming happy things at you right now. So
yay. Woo. Woo. Woohoo. Woo. Woohoo. That's how I feel. So obviously that was a wonderful weekend. A lot of fun. Also, a lot of book shopping. So we will be coming into a big book haul in a moment. I had a couple other little updates I wanted to tell you about. Okay. Number one, I got a notification on my telefono the other day that said, do you have a screen time thing?
Yeah.
Turned on?
Do you have it turned on? I do. I don't know why I do, because I usually am just sad by the result. But actually, it was down the other day for me, so that was cool.
Yes. Well, that's exactly what I'm about to say. I got a notification the other day that said, it was while I was on the vacation, it said, your screen time last week was down 24%.
Wow.
And I was like, it's working. It's happening. Quitting Instagram is working.
Yeah.
And so I just wanted to talk about that for a second because I know we both talked about how we're not using Instagram
right now.
I've been
noticing things too, so that's cool.
I've also been noticing things and I just think it's really interesting. So first of all, after quitting Instagram, I definitely was still going on my phone a lot. Like, and doing God knows what. I have no idea. I think I was scrolling Facebook Marketplace a lot more than I usually do. I was like looking at my YouTube analytics a lot for no reason. Like, my brain was just like, what do we look at? What can we look at?
And there's gotta be something to do on there.
There's gotta be something to look at. And I would go on my phone and Instagram wouldn't be there. So I feel like I was something else. Anything. Pinterest. I started going on Pinterest. I do like Pinterest, but like only if there's a thing I want. Exactly. Like if I'm like, otherwise, I want inspiration photos for this. Yeah. Otherwise, I'm just like, what am I doing on here? But yeah, so that was definitely like the first few weeks was me still going on my phone a lot. Mm-hmm. Definitely less, but a lot, because obviously the habit was still there.
Yeah.
But clearly it was like less and less satisfying because I wasn't actually getting that addictive urge and payoff that Instagram gives. And so obviously now screen time's down 24%. I think something has happened in the last week or two where my brain is like starting to really unlatch from Instagram and from my phone, because basically I feel like a lot more aware of it. Whereas before it felt like I was just picking my phone up on literal instinct, impulse and addiction and like looking at it and being like, huh, now I pick it up and I'm like, there's nothing here. And I put it back down.
Yeah.
Like it feels way more intentional. So that's been really awesome.
That is
and awesome. Overall, I just want to say that I feel so much calmer. I feel so much calmer. Like I just feel so much calmer. Like I'm just like, my brain feels so much better, and I feel so right now, like full of conviction that Instagram is not good for humans. And I'm not saying overall that there aren't some benefits. This is the problem. People always take it out of context and they're like, well, there are good things, you know? And I'm like, yeah, otherwise we wouldn't use it at all. Right? If it wasn't fun or interest, obviously there's good things as well. But I think the negatives outweigh the positives. But because it's so addictive and short-term satisfaction that you don't like, it's so hard to unhook. But I'm feeling really good. What about you?
I feel really good too. And more specifically, something I've noticed is that I have stopped like having this urge to buy books all the time. Which is interesting.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's so
it's
interesting.
It's affecting my book buying habits, because usually what would happen is I would look through Instagram for, you know, an hour or 2 hours every day, like collectively. Totally. And I would see a lot of books, obviously, because I follow a lot of book people on Instagram. And so I would discover lots of new books and then add lots of things to my, oh, maybe I should buy this. And then eventually, in a moment of weakness, I will buy like three or four of those books at a time, right? Like they kind of, it adds up to a moment where I'm like, I'm bursting, I have to do this. But I haven't had anything like that. Like I haven't I feel like you say more calm. Like I feel more clear, I guess. Like I don't feel, my brain doesn't feel as clogged up with information. I think that's the problem with, for me anyway, with Instagram, is like there's just so much going into you all the time while you're scrolling. Like there's so much information, helpful sometimes, a lot of the times not. But for me, it's just like a lot of media that I want to consume is something that I discover on Instagram quite a lot. And it's been really refreshing to not have that kind of inflow going into my mind. Now it's like I'm just going back to like my internal self, like, oh, what's something I have been wanting to read for a few years? Or what's a movie that I've been saying I was going to watch for a long time? Yeah. Like, I'll watch that. And so just kind of going back and like getting rid of all of the new stuff is been really nice for me.
I totally agree. That's
my main takeaway so far.
My very similar to that takeaway is just I feel like buying less clothing. Like, I don't buy a lot of clothes. I really, even before quitting, I didn't buy a lot of clothing like from Instagram.
Yeah.
But it would make me want to buy clothing. So then I'd go to a thrift shop or a Depop, because almost all of my clothing that I buy is secondhand. And so I'd be like, I should really go to the thrift store. And I'm like, without it, I'm not seeing all of these beautiful outfits all of the time and feeling like I'm competing at Fashion Week with everyone. I'm like, no, I barely see people in my little town. Yeah. When I do, it's not a fashion show. It's winter. We just have parkas on. Like, I don't need a third jacket. I don't, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's like, it's definitely the competitiveness.
Totally.
Really tampers down. And so you're saying like this competitiveness of like, I need all the books and I need to be on top of it. That starts to chill way out when you're not constantly seeing what everyone else is doing.
Exactly. It's really refreshing and nice and like good for my wallet. I feel like I've been saving money, which is cool, because now I'm like, okay, what other things could I be doing with that? Like, what do I want? And so I'm like thinking about that, and that's nice.
I'm excited to see how this continues to go. Okay, guys. For our next little moment here, we've got to talk about Peach.
Yeah.
I know what you're thinking. What do you mean?
Talk about Peach.
All talk about it. Peach, baby. Okay, exactly. Well, we've got a lot of peachy things to talk about, and we're going to be doing a fun segment of the mailroom later on. Yeah. But actually, since we're doing a Peach segment, I'll just pull this comment early. We got this comment from Anne Catherine Einenberg that said, "Hey, you two, this morning with my first cup of coffee." Like that she specified.
I love that.
That's awesome. My first cup of coffee. I looked up the Pantone color of the year for a different reason. It's fuzzy peach.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think we forgot to mention this, Raylene.
Yeah, which is a part of the hilarity episode. Of this whole situation.
It's part of why it's so funny, because we made a promise 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It was 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Or 4 years?
It was 2020, so 4 years ago.
4 years ago. So it was way before Pantone Color of the Year Peach. Like, way ages ago, we made a promise. Nobody knew that we were going to, if we ever reached $5,000 of support on Patreon, monthly support on Patreon for the podcast, we would dye our hair peach.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it happened this year, yeah. Which happens to be the Pantone Peach Color of the Year.
Yeah.
So it is wild that that lined up. But you also had a peachy fact, right?
Oh, well, I have just like a handful of things. So I've really started to lean into peach. My hair is not peach yet, obviously. We're still about a month away from actually dyeing our hair peach, but I'm trying to like get mentally prepared, and so what I've been doing is just buying everything I see that's peach. So like to start, it's hard to see, but my nails have been painted peach. I bought this other day. I have a candle burning behind me that's peach tea scented. I bought, do you know how Starbucks and like coffee shops have those syrups that you can, like,
buy them? Yeah, you sent me a photo. Yeah. You sent me a photo of this.
I bought amazing. Peach syrup because so I was like I want to have peach drinks. No, here's what I've been doing. I bought soda water, some cans of soda water. If you put a few pumps of peach in there, throw soda water in, you've got yourself a little Italian soda. And
oh my God.
Kyle also bought blue raspberry, but that's beside the point. I got peach. What else did I do? I think that's pretty much it. That's although so I did awesome. Rediscover a peach hand cream that I had in my side table that I put on before I go to bed now. So I always smell like peach. So the only thing I'm missing
it's
is like
really the peach year.
I need like a peach body spray or something. That's what I'm on the hunt for now. So if anybody has a recommendation for a great peach body spray, let me know. Because I just want to be super peachy. Like when my hair is peach, I want to just be a walking peach, like totem. Like I want to just be all peach all the time.
What's the difference between peach or a body spray and a perfume?
Perfume is just stronger, I think, and I don't think perfume would come in a peach scent. I think perfume is more, I don't know, dignified. I think
it does sound more dignified. Body spray sounds like nice, but not like I'm going to.
I feel like I wore body spray when I was a kid, but I didn't wear perfume. If that's like, true. Makes sense.
Perfume felt like something adult women did.
Yeah, I feel like body spray is like, you know, a $10 bottle of not super high quality stuff, maybe. I think it's maybe the quality. I'm not really sure. That's a great question.
I'll look this up.
Yeah.
I'll look this up. Okay, I also had a peachy fact.
Please.
So I mentioned last week that I drove the mini truck home.
Yes.
Right? Okay.
Oh my God, are you going to paint it peach? Home.
Oh my God, I could paint it peach. No, that isn't my fact, but that's very compelling, interesting idea. No, so basically, when I was driving home, it was a crazy drive. Like, I'm not going to lie to you. It was a crazy drive because it was a long drive, and this truck was not meant to go high speeds for very long. So there was, and it's not good at hills. So there was moments where I was like, oh, come on, little buddy, we got this. Come on. And like, literally, like every half an hour, 20 minutes, I don't believe in God, but God was sending me signals.
Oh, God, what happened?
I just kept getting these little signs that everything was going to be okay. And so, like, the first few minutes of the drive, I was, like, kind of stressed because we were leaving Halifax. So I was like, there's so many cars and so many people. And I was in this silly little mini truck. And the car in front of me, the license plate said CJ. And that's my brother's name, as you may know. And I was like, I'm fine. This is going to be fine.
I'm protected.
Kept driving. And like every, like I said, every 15, 20 minutes, there would be another sign, a portent that was like, we're all going to be fine. So one of them, this was so funny. I actually, you can imagine me driving down the highway in a mini truck laughing to myself.
Absolutely.
Because I was starting, we had just done a hill that was like kind of brutal. And I was like, this is so stressful. And then I looked to my left And I hadn't even noticed it. Like, if you had asked me what's on the inside of your mini truck, I would have said nothing.
Yeah.
There was one of those little scent trees. You know the little pine trees that are hanging on the mirror, on the rear view mirror? There was one of those called Peachy Peach. And it was peach. And I just burst out laughing. I was like, I'm going to be fine.
Everything is fine.
I am going to be fine. And I just kept driving, and obviously it all worked out. But I wanted to mention that that peachy peach thing, I was like, because it's the peach
I think
here.
That should live in your truck forever. You need to have some kind of like little peach thing. That's amazing.
I can't get rid of it.
I love that. Actually, I thought of one more peach fact before we move on.
Oh my God.
So something else I did over the weekend was I've had this I've been needing to get a new passport, basically, for a while.
Okay.
And I've had the application printed out, and I've just been like, I'll do that later. I'll do that later. But then a few days ago, I had the thought, in a month, my hair is going to be peach.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, I have to do this right now.
Wait, really? You're so right. Yeah. I have to get my passport renewed this
year. Go get your picture taken now. Otherwise, you'll have peach hair for 10
years.
You're
a genius. You're a genius.
I know. I thought I'd mention it because I was just like, oh my God, that could have been so bad. Either I would just not have a passport.
Writing that on my
or I would have had to like hide the peach hair because I wouldn't want that to be on my passport for the next 10 years. That would be so stupid.
Oh my God. So, I also have to get my driver's license renewed. But I don't even know how early you can do these things because mine expire like in the summer.
Ooh, yeah. I don't think you can do it that early.
Maybe the
at least for passports, they tell you not to. Like, there's like, there was something on the application that said, if you're doing it like more than 6 months before it expires, like, you have to explain why. So you'd have to explain it's because of your hair.
I have a good explanation for you guys. I'm about to go peach, baby.
For the, at least for the passport, the photo has to only be taken within the past year. So you're okay on, like, you can take that photo whenever you want. Driver's license is a little trickier because they take it at the place. So I don't know.
How long do driver's license last? Like 5 years?
Yeah, I think so. Maybe less. But
oh my God.
Yeah. Maybe two or three.
It's okay. That'd be funny, I guess.
Yeah.
Less funny on a passport.
Less funny on a passport. For sure. It's funny too, because my passport photo that I had previously for the past 10 years, I look kind of ridiculous. Like my hair looks crazy in it. And every time I look at it, I'm like, what was I thinking? So I'm just glad that I can avoid that in the future. I do look scary in my photo, but at least my hair is not peach.
That's very clever. Gosh. All right. Well, there you go, everyone. That's our peachy news.
Yeah.
Okie dokie. So we're going to move into our book haul because I'm excited. And I have a lot of books to haul.
This is what happens. You go on vacation.
You go on vacay. And that is like a huge part of the reason that I love doing our anniversary in Lunenburg specifically because it has... It's like a small, cute town, but it has three bookshops in the
really
town.
Really good ones, too.
You've been there, so you know. But we didn't end up going to the used bookshop. It's only open in the evenings, and it just never aligned with when we were doing dinner and everything. So that's okay. I didn't go there. And we went to the other two, but I ended up only buying books at one shop. So all of these are from my fave, Lunenburg Bound, which I'm always raving about. Two of these I had actually ordered ahead of time because I knew we'd be going there. And so I kind of ordered them in a couple weeks ago, and they got in. So the first one is The Bullet Swallower by Elizabeth Gonzalez James.
That looks like a Western.
How cool. Yes. How cool
it's
does this
so
look?
So pretty.
Somebody on our Discord, I think, messaged me about this, and they were like, Ariel, have you heard of this book? And I was like, no, I have not. And it sounds so good. And now I'm trying to remember what the hell it was about.
Doesn't
I'm
matter.
Totally blanking.
Cowboy.
Kind of doesn't matter. I mean, a family saga that's epic in scope and magical in its blood. That was the other thing. Ooh, there was a bit of magical realism.
That's cool.
Based loosely on the author's own great grandfather. That's so cool.
She loves it, folks. She loves that.
I love it. I love it. Yeah, it also was cool because they're like, I'm pretty sure there's an American character and a Mexican character. And it talks about, it says like, it tackles border politics and other things like that. So I thought that was cool. Very cool. You know, I'm loving a Western. This seemed like a lot of fun. The other one that I had ordered in advance was Handmade Books at Home by Chanel Lee. I actually ordered this one ages ago. And it never came in. And God, I was so embarrassed for myself because I emailed them. I was like, hey, I ordered a book and it never arrived. Do you guys know what happened to that? And they're like, that book doesn't come out for many months. Oh. I was like, oh, sorry, forget, bye. I felt like, that's on me. it's so pretty. So this is by Chanel Lee, who has a YouTube channel called Bitter Melon Bindery. And I really like her YouTube channel. They're like the most aesthetic videos about bookbinding ever. So I really recommend. They're not just aesthetic. They're also very good and useful. But I just, the ambiance of it. So when she was like, I'm doing a book, I was like, that's going to be a beautiful book. And it is. It's really stunning, right? Ooh. It's just so pretty. Awesome. The photos are so well done. And so I really wanted to, honestly, I mainly wanted to get it to support her because being a content creator is like a tricky job. And so I was like, hey, you do great work. This will be a great way to support you. Cool. But I think it would be really fun to do one or two of the projects in here.
Yeah, like even just looking at the cover, there's some interesting looking like bindings there that I don't think you've done before, at least that I haven't
seen. Yeah, exactly. No, there's some really cool ones. So I think that would be really neat. This allows me to do a small tangent and aside.
Oh, okay.
Because this weekend I did a bookbinding workshop and I just like telling you guys about it. Like, whatever, I bring them up. But I made this book.
Oh, look at so it, Raylene. Cute. Did you make that paper?
I did make that paper.
Yeah, I thought so.
Do you remember in Community, the first paintball episode, Chang is like, put me in. I'm the kind of dirt bag that has his own paintball equipment. Uh-huh. You know?
Of course.
You remember that?
Oh, of course.
That's how I felt. I was like, I brought my own paper.
Oh, that's perfect.
People were like, wait, someone was like, I didn't see that paper. That's so beautiful. And I was like, I made this paper.
Yeah, actually, this isn't my first rodeo, so.
Oh, so obnoxious. But I was really excited. So I was doing, this was a workshop on case binding, case binding, the style of binding. And I realized we would be doing covers with fancy paper. And she always provides the paper when I take her workshops. And she had bought some beautiful Japanese paper. Like, it was totally unnecessary for me to bring my own papers in. But when I realized, like, I could use my own paper.
You have so much of it, yeah.
I have so much of it, and I don't have a book for me with my own paper on it. So I was like, I could use my own paper. And so I brought it in, and I asked her. I was like, would it be okay if I use my own paper for the covers? She's like, yeah, of course. Like, that's totally fine.
Yeah.
I was like, yoo-hoo! So anyways, I'm very happy with it. It turned out really cool. It was as fun as always to do a workshop. And now I've got this pretty book.
That is awesome.
A little aside. All right, I'll take a pause. Ray, let us know about the book that you got.
Yeah, so I only got one book, and I have already mentioned this, I think, in our goals episode. So I got I Who Have Never Known Men by Jacqueline Hartman.
Hell yeah.
So I ordered this one from Blackwell's online, like right before the end of the year or at the beginning of the year, and then I was just waiting for it to show up. And it showed up. And spoiler alert, I actually already read it, so I'll talk about this later in the episode. Oh. Yeah, cool. I read it yesterday.
Okay, that's enticing.
Yeah, so I can't even say like I'm excited to read it. So that's, I'll just end that there.
Okay, well, the other three books that I got during the anniversary weekend, I'm very excited about them.
Okay,
God, it's such a cliche. That's the sentence every book creator says. I'm so excited.
Excited.
We know. I got Elena Knows by Claudia Pinheiro. Oh, have you heard of this one?
I've seen that, and I think I've had it like on my list for a while, but I don't remember why.
Okay, yeah. I have seen this one around a lot as well, and I think it sounds really, really cool. I'll just read the back so I don't get this wrong. When Rita's body is found hanging in the belfry of the church she devoted herself to, the investigation is swiftly closed. But her mother, Elena, refuses to accept the police's version of what happened, and despite the physical limitations imposed by her illness, embarks on a journey to call in an old debt. So yeah, it seems really, really cool about this woman who's like trying to figure out what happened to her daughter. Mm-hmm. I just dropped my phone. That is my camera that I use to see what's going on. Doesn't matter. Ignore that giant sound. It sounds really, really fantastic. I know it won a bunch of awards when it came out. I saw a lot of people buzzing about it. But the reason that I really wanted to check it out was because I've heard a lot of good things about this press.
Oh.
Charco Press.
Okay.
They publish a lot of really cool sounding books. And I looked up a few of them while I was in the shop. And this was one of the ones. They had like 5 in stock, actually. But this was the one that I was the most excited about of the ones they had in stock.
Nice.
So I really wanted to give it a shot. Claudia Pinheiro was born in Buenos Aires. And let's see. Francis Riddle. Oh, wait. Sorry. I just saw a cool thing in Claudia's biography. It says, more recently, she has become a very active figure in the fight for the legalization of abortion in Argentina and Latin America.
Hell yeah, go Claudia,
that's very cool. The translation was done by Francis Riddle, who also lives in Buenos Aires. Very cool. So yeah, that seems really neat. Then the other two books that I got, odd little picks, but I'm very excited about them. So the first one is To Love and to Cherish by Will R. Bird.
You did get a wedding book.
It is a wedding book, but I honestly didn't realize that until after. I didn't think about it. So basically, my brother, a couple of weeks ago, found a Will R. Bird book in a thrift shop. He bought it. He started reading it. He's loving it. He told me about it. Mm-hmm. We looked up Will R. Bird, and he's this really cool Nova Scotian author who was writing in the 1900s. Seems really cool. This is like not a bestseller now, kind of forgotten, but seems really, really cool. So CJ's reading this book and really enjoying it. And I was like, I want to see if Lunenburg Bound has any of his books. And they had quite a few in these really beautiful editions. And I like the colors on this. It's just like crazy, funky,
wild
50s colors. And what really excited me about this book is that one of the main characters is like creating a town. And I just love books about villages and like towns, like Parks and Recreation, totally. The Vicar of Dibley, Gilmore Girls, where it's like all about a little town like being formed and the people that really care about the town. So I thought it sounded really, really cool, and I was like, you know what, I'm gonna get it.
That's awesome.
So I got this one. The other one is similar, but I know a lot less about it. It's called No Small Tempest by Evelyn M. Richardson. It was also in this kind of vintage section. I just thought it looked really beautiful.
Yeah.
I got very swept up in the moment. It seems really great, and it's about let me just read you this line because it seems really interesting. It's a story of fisher folk already.
Okay.
What a great word, fisher folk. On the south coast of Nova Scotia in the mid-19th century, when sailing ships were proudly meeting the challenge of steam vessels. This tender and powerful drama is played out against a backdrop that forms an intimate picture of the joys and sorrows of fishermen and seamen, the loves and spites and jealousies that color their lives, and the tempests and shipwrecks that bring tragedy to their homes.
Ooh.
I thought it sounded so good. And I read the first few pages, and I really enjoyed it. So I picked that one up.
Nice.
Okay. I have two more to mention. I actually mentioned this one in the last podcast, but I felt like I didn't really give it its moment.
Yeah.
I got Ella Menopi by Mark Dunn, A Novel in Letters. Randomly found this one in my grocery store.
So awesome.
And gave a dollar to the little cup there and took it with my oat milk. But it says it's about a girl. This is the girl, Ella, who lives on a fictional island. And something is going on. Like, it's, like, weirdly dystopian.
Ooh.
Like, there's a totalitarian council on this island.
Oh, my God.
Who's banning the use of certain letters of the alphabet. And it says, as they fall from a memorial statue of their leader, founder, as a letter falls, no one's allowed to use that letter anymore.
Oh, my God.
So the story is told in letters. Yes. It's epistolary, but as she's not allowed to use letters, she stops using those letters throughout the book.
Oh my god, that's cool. I didn't know about that part. That's really cool.
I know. So there's like a lot of different things going on. As you guys know, last year was my year of letters. I want to keep that up, and this sounded really fun. And when I looked up reviews when I got home later, people seemed to enjoy it.
Yeah, so a lot of cool. our patrons were recommending that to you in the Discord and stuff. Oh, so they? I was trying to find it for you. I think I mentioned that too. Funny. I saw those and I was like, I'm gonna find that book for Ariel, but I'm glad you found it because I haven't been able to find it.
I beat you to it by accident without even knowing we were in competition. The final book is Swan in Love by my man Marcel Proust.
Interesting.
This was like a couple weeks ago. Connor and I just dropped into Bookmark in Halifax. Yeah. And we were looking around and Connor spotted this and I flipped through. I was like, this looks so pretty and it sounds so good. And he was like, I'll buy it for you. And so he just bought it for me.
That's nice.
And I'm pretty excited about it. God, look how pretty these end papers are. Wow. I didn't even notice those before.
Oh my God.
Beautiful. So that is definitely my biggest book haul of the year.
Yeah. You went wild.
Wow. What the hell's going on? But there you go. That was our book haul. Good job. Alrighty, now we're going to move into some book reviews. So, Raylene, how about you start us off? What did you read this week?
Okay, well, I kind of had like a dramatic left turn after our last reading update. So, my last reading update, I had just started reading The Nakano Thrift Shop by Hiromi Kawakami. And as I mentioned, I was kind of like lukewarm on it, not really sure.
Yep.
After we recorded that, I went to go sit down to read some more. I read like maybe 3 pages and I was like,
yep.
I don't want to do this anymore. And so I DNF'd it. And that was dramatic for a couple of reasons. One, because I really like her books in general. So it felt like a crazy thing to do. But also it was one of my 24 in 24 books, my TBR that I created for myself.
Yes.
And it happened and there's no going back. Like I'm ticking it off as like completed, even if I haven't read it, because it was one of the ones that I meant to read and now it's off my TBR. And that was the point.
Yeah.
But what is also kind of fun about that is that, you know how I want to read less than 50 books this year? Well, that's one less book read for me. So now I get to pick another one.
That's funny.
So I'm feeling excited about that aspect. So I'm like, every
that
time
could
I
be your whole... Exactly. Trick this year.
Every time I DNF
most
something,
of a book.
Yeah, I'm like, I'll just DNF it, and then I can squeeze something else in.
That's funny.
But anyways, so yeah, that was kind of a dramatic thing that happened, and then that day I was like, okay, I need to pick something really, really cool, really exciting, and so I said to Kyle, I'm like, go to my shelf over there and pick one of the books over there. There's one that I really want to read. I think that's the one I want. And he was like, okay, and then he just went and picked it out, and he got the right one, so it worked out. So I read If We Were Villains by M.L. Rio. M.L. Rio was born in Miami and raised in Northern California. She is an actor turned academic who holds a master's degree in Shakespeare studies from King's College in London. In 2017, her debut novel, If We Were Villains, was published and has since gone on to be translated into 15 languages and published in 20 countries. She has just announced that Simon & Schuster has acquired rights to 2 new novels of hers, the first of which is called Hot Wax and will focus on the music industry. This one has been a long time coming. I've owned it for a couple years now, and so many people have been screaming at me to read it. And it was a lot of fun. I had kind of a mixed like overall experience, and I actually recorded a reading vlog for this that is possibly my longest reading vlog ever. I had so many updates and I did like a whole branching timeline where there's like a non-spoiler section, but then there's also a spoiler section.
Whoa.
It's elaborate. I haven't edited it yet, but it'll be up.
It's elaborate.
It's elaborate. But it'll be up there for the patrons if you want to see my really in-depth like thoughts and theories while I was reading it. But overall, I really enjoyed it. So essentially, this is about a group of 7 people who are at this conservatory like college, and it's all about the arts. So they are obsessed with Shakespeare, obsessed with theater, but there's also like philosophy students and like visual artists, and like there's all these different mediums. There's dancers and stuff. So there's like this, it's just like this really cool conservatory where it's like really prestigious and it's really hard to get in and really hard to stay in. And so the main characters are all in their 4th year. There's only 7 of them who've made it to their 4th year. And they're all kind of like best buds. They do all these plays together. But of course, there's some like tension within the group. There's like a relationship. And one of the people is like this hothead like guy who's you kind of don't want to mess with him and stuff. Like there's all these different like things at play. And at the beginning of the novel, you also find out that the main character, whose name is Oliver, he is in jail and has been in jail for 10 years. Mm. But you don't know what happened to put him there. You know that something went sideways within the friendship group 10 years ago when they were all in school together, but you don't know what happened. And so it's broken up into five acts because Shakespeare. And at the beginning of each act, there's like a little prologue chapter that is in the present day where Oliver is like in jail and is talking about, he's actually about to get out of jail. And so he's like telling this cop who's retiring, he's telling him everything that actually went down. It's kind of like the way the novel is framed. So you get this kind of back and forth between the timelines, which is fun. And yeah, what I will say is that there is a lot of Shakespeare in this book, like a lot. Like there's a lot of the characters quote Shakespeare pretty much all the time. Like sometimes they have entire conversations where they're just quoting Shakespeare instead of just talking like normal people. And so that was a little weird and a little crazy. Like I understand it a little bit, but I think it happened too much. And then there's also scenes, because they perform multiple plays throughout the novel. There's, I think, three or four like performances. And so there's like large paragraphs that are just like copied and pasted from Shakespeare, which was like, okay, that was a choice. But like a lot of the book is taken up by that, I would say. And it kind of like slowed things down a little bit. But what I will say is that there was one performance like within the first 50 pages or so of the book that, where they did Macbeth. And it was so cool. Like, it was so gripping. And I was reading it, and I was, like, imagining it like a movie or a TV show. Like, it was so dramatic. Yeah. It was, like, on a beach. And it was kind of this, like, thrown-together performance because everybody was given a part, but they weren't allowed to tell anyone who they were playing, and they weren't able to rehearse and stuff. And so I was just imagining this whole scenario, and I was like, this is so, like, theatrical and, like, really cool. So I really had a good time with that. And, like, I would say the first half of the book was very exciting and suspenseful because, first of all, I also didn't know what the crime was going to be. I didn't know why Oliver ended up in jail. And as that's revealed, I feel like the story kind of got weaker as it went on. Like, the reveals were not as interesting. And, like, I had all these crazy theories and none of them were right. Like, it ended up just being a very, like, in my opinion, bland way to take the story. But all in all, a good book. Like, I had a lot of fun with it. And it took me a little longer to read it than I thought it would. But I would say it was a pretty quick read. Like, I read the first 100 pages in one night, probably. Like, it was so exciting to read. So, yeah, all in all, really enjoyed it.
And do you know why so many people who like The Secret History like that book? Like, those are always put together, right?
They are. And I actually, I somehow...
How do they compare?
Yeah, I actually ended up on Reddit when I was trying to, like, put together the biography for the author. And she, like, had this whole, like, conversational, like, post with people. And people were, like, asking her questions. And somebody asked that. They were like, do you, like, love The Secret History? Like, what's the story there? Yeah. And she was like, okay, I'm sick and tired of people comparing this to The Secret History, because that wasn't even, like, my inspiration at all. Oh my God. Says, like, she's like, I read it once, and it's a good book, but it's not where this was coming from at all. And so I...
What do you think?
I mean, I think it is kind of like The Secret History, though. Like, I I understand her not wanting them to be compared, but they are similar. You've got a big group of friends. They're all very pretentious. Like, in The Secret History, they're Greek students, and they're all obsessed with Greek, and they speak Greek to each other. Like, it's this little club. It's basically a special little club, and that's exactly what the situation is in this book, too. And there is a crime of some kind. I don't want to, like, spoil either one for for anybody, but something bad happens to someone in the group. And then it's kind of the after effects of that and how, like, the group kind of implodes a little bit after the events of this thing that happens. So I would say they are very similar. I think The Secret History is a much stronger book, personally, but they are very similar. So that's what I have to say about that. They are, I would say that they are very much in the same boat in terms of, like, plot. And they're also both set in the 90s. The Secret History actually came out in the 90s, but this one was set in 1997 in, like, the past timeline. So I was like, that's there's a lot of similarities here. Like, kind of a lot.
Well, the book that I read this week was 10 Arguments for Deleting Your Social Media Accounts Right Now by Jaron Lanier. Jaron Lanier is a computer scientist, composer, artist, and author. He either coined or popularized the term virtual reality, and in the early 80s founded VPL Research, the first company to ever sell VR products. He was born in New York City, raised in New Mexico, and now lives in California. 10 Arguments for Deleting Your Social Media Right Now was originally published in 2018 and is his fifth book. So this was obviously a reread. Mm. I say obviously, if you're new to the pod, this is a reread because I read this eons ago. It was in 2020, actually. Yeah. It wasn't that long ago, but I read it in 2020 and I really loved it when I first read it. And then I was in New York a couple months ago, that was it, and I saw this in a bookshop and I really preferred this edition to the edition that I had. I found my edition like in an offcuts type sale, you know, like a remainder book sale thing, and it just is like a big hardcover. It doesn't feel nicely made. Great book, but I've just like saw this edition and I was like, oh, this is so cute. And then I saw that it has a new afterword and I was like, okay, I'll read that. I don't know how new this afterword is. I think this is only like, basically this book was published by a different publisher originally. And then like a year later, or 2 years later, it got picked up by this publisher, Picador, and they published, republished it. And I think they just added a new afterwards at the time. So I don't think it was like a 2024, 2023, 2020. I feel like it was actually like 2019 or something. Like it wasn't that new. But that's okay. That's okay. I really enjoyed the reread. Really enjoyed the reread. And it was sort of like just came at the right time.
Yeah.
You know, like
you needed it.
I needed it for willpower, because we talked about quitting Instagram earlier on the pod and everything that I said remains true, but at the same time it's like sometimes you just need encouragement or like a realigning or a re-inspiring or a re-motivating kind of thing. And even when you really believe in something, it's still nice when people are like, you're doing a good thing, or like, yes, no, I think this is a reasonable way to feel. And, you know?
Yeah.
So it's great. Guys, I really recommend this book. I think that there are a couple of things that I don't love about it. One thing is that it's got this weird through line. It's not that. It doesn't come up that much during the book. Like, it's more at the beginning and a little bit right at the end. Sure. Like, he keeps talking about cats. Like try and be more like a cat. Because cats are, like, not... They're, like, very independent. Uh-huh. They're not super social. And, like... And I was like, huh? I don't really get it. And then he kind of drops that idea. I'm like, okay, whatever. That seemed inconsequential. And you read the whole book. And then at the end, he's like, be like a cat. I'm like, what? The cat thing. Stop at the cat thing. I don't understand That's the weird. Cat thing. And it's just, and then at the end in his acknowledgments, he thanks his four cats. So I'm like, okay, you just love cats.
So basically it's a cat book. I need to get that to add to my cat collection.
It counts as a cat book. So I think that was a little, it doesn't really help the whole book.
Yeah.
I'm just like, okay, that was a little weird. And then he has one other thing that's similar to that. It's a little too complicated to explain, but he calls social media, instead of just using the term social media, he uses the term bummer, which is an acronym he made up for behavior user modified.
Oh, it's annoying.
Made into an empire for rent. And I'm like, what? And I had to reread it a few times to like actually make it make sense for what he's saying. And I actually think that he's right, that like social media is too loose a term. It kind of means a lot of different things, and he wants to limit exactly what he's talking about and be more specific, because what he's talking about is platforms that sell your data and use your own data to try and change your behavior, like whether that's buy more stuff, watch more stuff, feel this way so that you'll watch more ads. Like everything it's doing is learning from you and everyone that's using these platforms to modify your behavior and then sell that, right? So it is a very specific thing that he's talking about. So I get why he wants a specific word for it, but he chose bummer, which I think is cringe, and his theory like around it is a little weird. And then you're just stuck with it. He just calls it bummer tech for the whole book, and you're like, okay, that's a little... Those are little asides. Like, yeah, so I don't think it's like a perfect book, but like all of that aside, I think it's such a fantastic book. One of the things that I really like about it is that he's really not anti-technology. Like I mentioned in his biography, he was like the I actually pulled most of that from his own website because he doesn't use social media,
right?
As you can imagine. But he was like the first person to really like be to name VR.
That's interesting.
And he, I know, it's fascinating. He was a software developer in Silicon Valley in the 70s and 80s. Like, he was one of the first people that worked on the internet. And so throughout the book, he's like, okay, so in the 80s, we did this because we thought this would happen. What actually happened was this other thing. Mm. But like, going back, now I see what a mistake it was that everyone thought. So an example of this is like, everyone thought the internet should be free. He's like, Silicon Valley was flooded with hippies. We all wanted everything to be free and everything to be perfect. And so we thought it was like the most utopian thing ever that all of these websites were free. Mm. But we would fund the model with ads. So like, how perfect is that? He's like, now we realize it would be so much better. Some things are worth paying for. Yeah. And he gives the perfect example of like Netflix. He's like, you pay a monthly subscription fee to whatever, Netflix, whatever one you use. Mm-hmm. And you get to watch really great TV. He's like, now we're in literally the golden age of television because things are being well funded, etc. And you don't have to watch ads. And they're not stealing your data in this way to, like, modify your behavior, blah, blah, blah. He's like, we could have done that with the internet. Like, why don't you pay for your email? Why does Google get to read all of your emails? And, like, why do you not pay for... I don't know. There's all these examples. Yeah. So it was just really interesting that he's actually been there for the history of it, can reflect upon why these decisions got made in the past, but why we should change them now. It's so cool, compelling. The reasons are really like all over the place in the best way. Like, you're like, God, it's true. There's so many reasons why we should leave these platforms, especially if you're just not happy, if they're not serving mm-hmm. you well. So there you go. I reread it and I really, really liked it. The other one I wanted to mention, I forget when I finished it, but I finished Life Changing Magic of Tidying Up, which we talked about. I thought I was finished and I really wasn't finished. And I wanted to step back for one moment, Raylene, to show you this. And I have to take my headphones off and I won't be able to hear you anymore. This is more for the video viewers, I suppose. But look at this giant bag of clothing that I am donating because I did my giant Maria Kondo closet purge.
Oh my gosh.
So
I love that.
I finished the book and I enjoyed it. And I was like, okay, great. Now I can do my purge. And it was awesome. And I already want to do it again because I feel like sometimes it takes a couple of passes.
Totally. I agree. I did a purge in the summertime, like, so just a few months ago, but I already am like, okay, I still don't really have room and I want to do like a big overhaul of my closet. Like, I want to just like replace a lot of my things because I don't really like my clothes generally. And so I feel the same way. Like, I got to purge again.
It's purging time. Yeah. I had a lot of fun doing, and I didn't even mean to that day. I'd like been thinking of doing it soon. But then I had a lot of fresh folded laundry and it didn't fit.
Uh-oh.
And I was like, this is so annoying. And then I just started throwing things and then boom, I was deep in the whole process.
That's how it starts.
There you go.
I love that.
All right. Now let's transition and talk about what we're currently reading. What are you in the middle
of? Well, I actually have to review one more book.
Oh my gosh. Wait, you're right. You teased it and everything. All right.
Okay. So I will now just do a quick little review of I Who Have Never Known Men by Jacqueline Harpman. Mm. Jacqueline Harpman was born in Etterbeek, Belgium in 1929, and she passed away in 2012 after a decades-long writing career. I Who Have Never Known Men was originally published in 1995 and was the first of her 20 novels to be published in English. It was originally titled The Mistress of Silence when it came out. This, I basically read this yesterday. I actually started it the day before yesterday and only read like maybe 20 pages. And then yesterday I was just like, I'm going to sit down and just read this today because I haven't done that in
a
while.
Oh, love that.
And also, as of 2 days ago, before I finished If We Were Villains, I had only read, like, finished two books so far this year. And I was starting to get scared by that information. And so I finished If We Were Villains and I'm like, I've got to read something fast so I can catch up. Mm. And so anyways, I decided to read this because not only I just bought it and so I'm excited about it, but it's short. And I was just really in the mood for it. So this is the story of 40 women who are trapped in a bunker underground. And they don't know why they're there a lot. Like, don't really remember how they got there. And so, like, the circumstances of this whole thing is very, like, strange, because as a reader, you don't know why they're there, because they don't even know why they're there. They don't know who's keeping them there. They don't know what the circumstances are. And the main character is the narrator. She's an unnamed narrator, and she's about 15-ish is their estimation. She's the youngest person there. Most of the other women are older. Like, they were in their maybe 20s and 30s or older when they came to the bunker. And so that's kind of, like, the baseline story is like, okay, why are all these women here? They're kind of just trying to survive. There's always three guards who are all men who, like, are just watching them, and they never say a word. And so this main character has never interacted with a man before. So she's, like, unaffected by men is kind of, like, her whole thing. And this, as the story goes on, and it says this on the back too, like, they do end up getting out of the bunker. And so they're kind of, like, exploring this landscape that they're now trying to live in and trying to survive in. And they kind of just start walking and exploring and, like, discovering the world. And the world is so strange. Like, I don't want to say too much, because I think that this is a really interesting book to go into not really knowing anything. But it is, like, it has a sci-fi thing going on. It's a little bit, like, spooky. And I was actually listening to this, like, sci-fi reading playlist while I was reading that. I'll link it in the show notes, because it's a really good playlist if you're listening to kind of a spooky sci-fi book. It really, like, put me in the mood.
I love that.
But, yeah, this was, like, a really beautiful, like, quiet story. There wasn't, like, a lot of action or a lot going on. It was a lot of, like, internal reflection and kind of just, like, thinking about what it means to be human. Because, like, the main character was raised in this bunker basically without, like, a culture. Like, she's kind of just, she just exists, and she doesn't know how to read, but, like, she kind of has this thirst for knowledge, and so she's constantly asking the older women, like, teach me things, and they're like, what's the point? And she's like, she just, like, wants to know as much as she possibly can, because she's like, there's nothing else to do, like, there's, why not? And so
what else are we doing, ladies?
Exactly. So, like, there's a lot of kind of, like, there's a lot to think about with this book. And after I finished it, I was like, what was this book about? And so I just started, like, thinking about it, and I was like, oh, wow, it's kind of, like, about a lot of things. And I'm like, how, like, a community without men, like, exists, and, like, how would things have gone differently if there had been men in their group? Like, would things have gone in different directions? Like, would things have been as calm and, like, nice as they were? Like, I don't, there's just, like, a lot of things to think about. And it was really, really good. Like, I saw one person, I think, in our Discord or on Patreon maybe, was like, I don't think she's gonna like that book. So I was a little bit scared.
Oh.
Because I was like, oh, maybe it's gonna be, like, not my vibe. But
Did they give a reason?
No. No.
Okay.
But I think I kind of understand it, because it is a very, like, introspective kind of book, which doesn't always work for me. There's like, you know, it could have gone either way, but I ended up really enjoying it, and I was, like, this tempted to maybe start reading it again, just to, like, kind of, you know, it's one of those books where it's like, okay, there is a lot to think about, and I don't think I was thinking about it while I was reading it. I only started to think about it as I was finishing the book. So I'm like, oh, I want to go back and ponder this some more, because, yeah, it was just, like, a really thoughtful book, which I haven't experienced that in a while, where I've read a book like this that I've actually, like, really felt connected to. So I really recommend it. I think you'd
That's really cool.
Yeah.
All right, so shifting to what we're currently reading, I have nothing to say, because I finished 10 Arguments for Deleting Your Social Media last night, and I haven't started anything yet.
I was almost in the exact same boat, because I finished that book last night.
Right.
And then we made dinner, and I was like, okay, I have a few hours before bed, you know, it's the evening now, like, what do I do? Do I just come with nothing? And then I was like, I'll browse Libby for a little bit and see what's, like, available now. And I have this, like, I've created a list for myself on Libby that's all the books that are on Libby that I have on my physical TBR. And so I go to that when I'm like, I should see what's going on. And I decided to start reading possibly the randomest book ever.
Oh.
Lesser Known Monsters of the 21st Century by Kim Fu, which is a short story collection that was sent to me by Coach House Books last year. And this one was recommended to me, and I accepted it because it sounded cool. It was pitched to me as, like, Black Mirror-esque short stories.
Okay.
And I was like, okay. So I just started reading it on Libby. And the first story was so cool that I was like, you know what? I'm just going to read this. So the first story is called Pre-Simulation Consultation XF007867. And I was like, whoa, this is dramatic. And it's just like a conversation between two people. One person who like works for this company who like runs simulations of some kind. And then the person who's like coming to get the simulation. And this person wants to talk to her dead mom, basically. And the simulation person is like, oh, we can't do that. And here's why. And it's just like this conversation about like, this tech and like, you know, the legalities of it and all this kind of stuff. But it was so interesting. And so
that sounds really cool.
Yeah. So I really enjoyed that first story. And then I read the next two before I went to bed last night. And I really enjoyed both of them. So I was like, you know what?
Whoa.
I'm just going to read this. It's like not something I planned to read this year. It's not on my like TBR I've set for myself. But I like that. Sometimes you just have to go off the rails a little. So I'm reading that, and who knows what I'll read next, but I'm excited to be kind of just like back into the swing of reading. I feel like when I told myself I want to not read that much, I think I took it a little too seriously for the first couple of weeks of this year. Like I was just like, I just won't read at all, but I do like reading and I missed it. So, I've decided to go back to it a little bit to get some balance. I did a lot of crocheting over the past couple of weeks, and I'm ready to like take a break from that to read again.
Well, woman can only crochet so much.
Exactly. You will see soon. There's a package on its way to you full of goodies. Little spoiler alert.
Okay, very interesting. all right. Well, let's shift over to the mailroom. I've got a couple comments here from the YouTube, Aileen, that I'll read out. So this first one comes from Bia Linsbear. They said, I know Raylene didn't like this book, and they're talking about Stoner. This was on the real review of Stoner. I know Raylene didn't like Stoner, but her description has me wanting to read it, lol. Also, I remember she said this was a friend's book club pick, so I'm curious, what did her friends think of the novel?
Ugh. Okay, well, we actually haven't discussed it yet. We're meeting this week to talk about it, but one of my friends had already read it, and so she was kind of like, I already knew that she loved this book. She read it around the same time I did, and she was like, oh, this book is fantastic. I love it so much. But then my other friend, Julia, hadn't read it yet. But a few days ago, she was like, oh my gosh, guys, I'm like 100 pages into this book, and it's like rejuvenating my love for reading. She hasn't been reading much lately. And she's like, this is just, it's exquisite. It's so good. I want every book by this like press.
Oh my God.
She's like obsessed. And so I'm like, what is wrong with me? And it's like,
so this is a you problem.
It is really just a me problem, and
that's so funny.
It's unexplainable because I'm like, the formula is fine, like a book about a guy where not much happens, he doesn't have a very interesting life. Like I read a lot of books like that. This one just didn't work for me for whatever reason, and I didn't like dislike it. I just didn't love it. It was just a very middle of the road for me. But yeah, that is funny. Both my friends, it seems like they are obsessed.
All
with
right, so Bia, you should probably pick it up, just because if it sounds interesting to you, it sounds like you'll probably like it. Okay, we got this other comment from Salimamitheni. God, usernames are so tricky to figure out. Loved hearing about the book truck plans. How exciting. Ariel, there is a wonderfully cozy and wholesome book called The Bookshop on the Corner by Jenny Colgan, about a librarian whose job is made redundant, so she moves to the Scottish Highlands and buys an old van, which she converts into a mobile bookshop.
Huh.
Listening to you talk about your plans reminded me so much of this book. So I just had to give that a shout out.
That's
because
really cute.
If you were like listening to all my shenanigans with the book truck and you were like, I wish there was a book about that. Apparently there is, called The Bookshop on the Corner.
Fantastic.
So there you go. It sounds really cute. I kind of want to check it out. It sounds really, really happy. The only thing that stresses me out about it is I looked it up and it's a 3-book series.
I was going to say, Jenny Colgan has a lot of books and a lot of trilogies. I remember that from my bookstore days. Yeah.
Why the trilogy? But yeah, the it seems really, really cute. And what I loved was when I was looking at the reviews, some people had pictures of different bookmobiles in their reviews. And I was like, very good. Very good.
I love that.
There you go. All right. What comments did you pull?
Okay. Well, I've got a few cool things from Patreon and Discord. The first one was from a couple of weeks ago on our Discord. Puff Maggie it's kind of a long comment, but I'll summarize it here. So this was a person who, in our Reading Confessions episode, wanted books that weren't TikTok books, but was having a hard time sourcing them to where she lived.
The same person. Okay.
Yes, this is the same person. And so she wrote into our Discord in the book haul chat about like, oh my gosh, this was, you know, this is who I am, this is what happened. And she took a picture of the books that she got.
Ooh.
She got them from World of Books because apparently they don't charge import duties, which was a thing that could have been a problem. And a few of the books that I'll highlight here are Only Child by Rhiannon Navin, which I keep talking about but haven't read yet, The Trial by Franz Kafka, which you were reading, and Indelicacy by Amina Kane. So
she got some cool books.
As well, there's a few more.
I'm so glad that that worked out.
Yeah. And then actually this one is back on the topic of Stoner for a second. So on our Patreon, Simone commented, I haven't read Stoner, but I did read Butcher's Crossing, which Ariel might enjoy. It is basically the opposite of Stoner, and the protagonist leaves his wealthy and sordid life to hunt buffaloes for their fur in the West. It has cowboy vibes and survival in rough climates, plus the entire moral of hunting for profit. So it's another book by the same author, basically.
This is a movie with Nicolas Cage.
I know, I was going to say, I actually just watched the trailer for this a couple of days ago. I was like, wait, what is happening with Butcher's Crossing? It's everywhere in my life all of a sudden. Like, it just keeps popping up.
Well, that's funny.
So maybe that's something to think about.
And so it's the same
about.
Author,
yes.
John Williams.
Yeah, John Williams wrote that book too.
That does sound pretty good.
Pretty cool. Okay, here
cool,
was some
thanks.
Here was some news over on our Discord. Ryan sent a post. Apparently, there is going to be an illustrated Hunger Games novel.
Odd.
Yeah.
Go on.
Like, let's see what else we know here. I'm just looking at my little screenshot. It's coming out on October 1st. Exciting new edition will draw you in with more than 30 stunning black and white illustrations by internationally acclaimed artist Nico Delort. So it's kind of cool. Something to
so it's not a graphic novel.
No, it's just like it has illustrations, but they're all like black and white illustrations. They look okay. They look interesting, perhaps, but I don't know. It looks like it's probably going to be like a hardcover edition, like a collector's edition. I think that's okay. It's kind of weird. I think it's kind of a weird vibe, but maybe it's good.
Raylene saying, I think that's okay is so funny.
I think that's fine. They can do whatever they want, I guess. Okay, next up. This is from our Discord. S. Bourbon Jungle has said, has anyone else picked up an e-reader recently and been reading books way faster? I was inspired by the podcast to pick up a Kobo, and it's been so handy. I wanted to mention this because I read a book on my Kobo recently. I actually read most If We Were Villains on there, because I was like finding that I wasn't reading it very fast, and so I was like, oh well, my library hold came in a couple days after I started reading it, so I was like, I'll just read it on there. And I'm now reading the Kim Fu short story collection on my e-reader, and I love it. I do feel like I read faster on there. What about you?
I definitely feel like I read faster on there. I also think that I just read more on it because of the backlight. Like,
100%.
If it's late at night and I'm laying in bed and I think, I could read, and I only have a physical book next to me, I'm like, but I'm going to have to sit up, I'm going to have to hold the book, I'm going to have to turn a whole light on. Like, it's obviously not a huge obstacle, but it's enough that I'll be like, meh, I'll go on my phone.
Totally.
But if I've got my e-reader next to me, I'm like, it's so easy. I can just grab that. It's so light, it's so easy, and it's so backlit that I'm like, this is so easy to read on. Yeah. I'll just read a couple more pages. So there's like a couple reasons why.
Just like the volume of reading is higher, for sure.
Yeah, totally.
Okay, this is a fun one for you. Sandra said, if you want... Oh, this is about your book truck, by the way. Sandra says, if you want a robot name, why not consider naming it Carl? I'm about to start reading An Absolutely Remarkable Thing by Hank Green. And I was like, that is a cute idea. So I wanted to...
That is a cute idea. I saw somebody suggest that I name it Mosscap, because that's the robot in the Psalm for Wild Bill.
That's funny. Yeah, good robot names. Good one. I like
there
Carl.
Are some good robot
I do like
names
Carl a lot
there.
And then here's my final one, which is kind of another recommendation for you. So this is, I think, from Patreon. So Jensen has said, if you want to blend your new love for letters with a wish to read more sci-fi, you should read This Is How You Lose the Time War. Two agents on opposite sides of a time war are leaving each other letters as they dismantle each other's plans through time. Similar to the Monk and Robot series, there's not a lot of time wasted on world building or characters' names. And you can see if you like fictional epistolary novels. So, that sounded cool. I didn't realize it was letters. I think that's really neat. And it's a short
book.
Yeah,
I have had that one behind me for years. It's up there. Yeah, I don't know if you can see it on camera. It's up there. That's I've had fantastic. It for eons. I also, I knew that that's what it was about, but I forgot that it was epistolary.
Yeah.
So that's, I should definitely reprioritize that one.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, I was trying to look at Libby, if Libby had it. I can't get Libby on my computer, and that's apparently not a thing. What? Overdrive is a thing?
I do it on my computer. LibbyApp.com.
Libby on?
Yep. That's how I put things onto my e-reader.
Libby, oh, because you have, right, LibbyApp.com. You have to drag stuff on.
Yeah, it's so annoying.
Oh, welcome. Thousands of public libraries offer ebooks and audiobooks for free. Let me ask you a few questions to get you set up on your library.
There you go.
Perfect! This will be my post-podcast activity.
Fantastic.
How did I? That's really great. Good job, everyone. This is a very successful podcast for me personally. Thank you, as always, for messaging us on all the different places that you can message us. Very grateful to all. And we're now going to go record our Patreon mini podcast, The Question Vase, which is a lot like Q&A, but it's a different vessel because we've had the movie tub, we've had books on bucket, so I had to think of another vessel. Bucket item. Vessel. And so I was like, what? And then I thought, vase,
yeah.
Question vase, Q&As, that something's there. So we're going to go record that now and answer some questions that our patrons have asked us. And we hope you enjoy this episode. Thank you very much for watching, and we'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
Bye.